Incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another episode of animation!
I started the power up probably like 15 seconds too early because I couldn't hear it.
I have no idea.
And I was trying to look at Rob, and I was like, is Rob going to focus? Be like, I'm just going to throw the timing off. I was waiting on this. So I didn't know about that either.
Oh my God.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode.
Oh, man.
Of animation squad back in three quarters of effect. Myself, Ice. Rob is in the building. Bitch ass, hoe ass, Brennan.
Punk ass, hoe ass, bitch ass, bald ass.
Punk ass Brennan.
I mean, he is in the building.
But he's in the building.
He's not here.
He's like doing some good stuff. He's doing some good stuff for his brother. He's filming some videos for his brother right now, some music videos. Also, no bitch ass, hoe ass, punk ass Cam.
Punk ass, punk ass Cam.
In the building. No, he's not here. He's in the building also. He's actually filming too on the other side. When you're not here, you're getting this.
Yeah, you got to get
shout out to Leah, though. She's here. She's recording for us.
Thank you, Leah.
We won't give you the...
The Leah Cam?
I'm going to say we won't give her the energy of like... of that when we just gave them to. But yeah, you know what we do on here. We do our shit, talk our one off. Join that Patreon, patreon.com/animation, S-H-U-N. Join that Patreon. You know what we do on there. We do a lot of stuff, talk our stuff on there.
We out here, man.
We got polls and stuff that you guys can get into. This week we're getting into My Hero, man. My Hero Academia, the most recent two episodes, and also Gurren Lagann. I guess before Gurren Lagann, did they change the animation up?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
It looked different.
It looked better.
It looked way better.
I think definitely for that first episode that we watched at the stretch, I could see them like going, "Okay, this is a big moment. We gotta mix it up a little bit for this." I could see that, and certainly during that fight, they changed styles a little bit.
Yeah. My Hero, Gurren Lagann this week, and then we might end up doing Attack on Titan probably next week.
Yeah, I think maybe next week we'll do Vinland and Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan.
Yeah, and you know,
number three.
when does the second one come out? September, you said? September.
It's in the fall, man. I mean,
it's somewhere there. Somewhere out
fuck
there.
Fuck it, man.
It's in like 6 months. It's a half a year away.
All right, man. But before we do that, as always, we have a poll for you guys, an anime poll. What do you have for us this week, Ice?
Today's anime poll is, who has the best solo hand? So, I guess the way to put this is, which one of these six characters has the best chance of beating the entire anime universe in hand-to-hand combat? So, another caveat to this is, these people, if they have any powers, quote-unquote, they can use these powers only to help them with hand-to-hand combat. So, for instance, if Itachi is fighting somebody, he has a Sharingan, but he can't put nobody under Genjutsu, but he can use his Sharingan to, you know, track their movements and work with them like that. Mm-hmm. So, to make it fair, we took Dragon Ball Z Universe out of this because it's broken, and Krillin can probably wash
everybody
in here. I mean, I think
but
that's...
Yamcha.
Could I mean
possibly, maybe. Probably.
So it's so broken, and to keep it fair, we took them out of there. So excluding Dragon Ball Z, which one of these six people has the best chance of just giving the hands to the anime universe? So the people we have is Aaron, aka the Attack Titan, Isaac Natero, from the chairman from Hunter x Hunter. We have Jotaro Kujo from JoJo's, All Might from, we know, My Hero Academia, Yujiro Hama, a.k.a. Baki Daddy, a.k.a. the man that be stalking his son while he having sex, from Baki. And then we have Mike Guy from Naruto. So from this six coming in at ass last, well, it was a tie for last.
It really was.
A tie for last with getting 3% of the vote respectively.
So take two.
Yeah, getting 3% of the vote, respectively. We have Isaac Natero and Aaron the Attack Titan. Coming in at fourth, we have Jotaro Kujo with 5% of the vote. And coming in at third, All Might with 15% of the vote.
It's interesting.
Yeah, coming in at third with 15% of the vote, we have All Might. Coming in at second with 23% of the vote, we have Yujiro. and Yujiro. And then coming in at number one, taking it convincingly with 53% of the vote, we have Mr. Mike Guy, the Inner Chambers himself.
Yeah, I mean, this dude, he almost doubled up the guy in second place.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was not close.
And it's sad because I have no clue what's going on with that guy. I don't know anything about Mike Guy.
Mike Guy is a
I know
dog.
A little bit.
You know a little bit?
I know a little bit. But so, I know, so, I mean, this is a Naruto guy, so this is your place, Ice.
So how would you rank these, and what would you say, I guess, who would have the best solo hands to you? Would you agree with this?
Yes, 100%. And I think, I don't know, from what I hear about Yujiro, I hear he's a dog.
People
I hear
say
Yujiro,
he
be doing stuff, but what, I guess the best way to put this in perspective, and I'm only going to use stuff that's been consumed by everybody, even in the anime space, we've all seen Madara give everybody hands. We've seen that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that. That's very well documented that Madara went through a very high amount of people in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. He did more that some people haven't seen, but everybody has seen this. Mike Guy gave Madara the hands. I think that's really the best way.
Okay, so I don't know this guy, but I've seen the clips of Madara before.
And he gave Madara hands. So if that's really all I can put into it, other times leading up to that, he's given other characters. The Akatsuki is a very big group that kind of hovers over all in Naruto. There are some people in Naruto that are not to be fucked. I mean, there's some people in Akatsuki that are not to be fucked with. One of the guys in there, his name is Kisame. He is a dog.
He's the dude with, like, the shark sword
exactly.
or whatever? Okay,
and
yeah, I know him.
Mike Guy gives him the business. So anytime you call on Mike Guy, he's not there in the show a lot.
Yeah.
But when he comes, it's no playing. No games were being played. So yeah. I think
so Mike Guy is
Rock Lee's sensei.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Damn, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I haven't, like, I've seen, obviously, there's a lot of Naruto I haven't seen.
Yeah.
I've seen Rock Lee do his thing against, what was it, Gaara?
Yeah.
And then, like, right after that, Mike Guy and, what's Kakashi, right?
Yeah. No, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
Kakashi is that?
That's his dog. They grew up together.
The rivals or whatever. I saw them, like, taking care of, like, Orochimaru's people, like, no problem.
Yeah.
So I've seen that he's, like, competent, but I've not seen him go to that, like, 9,000 level.
And it happens later on, but and I think for me, that's why, again, I hear the thing about Yujiro. I hear him fighting dinosaurs and airplanes or whatever the fuck he was doing, fighting Transformers.
Yeah,
but it's just like,
all that.
I don't. The Baki realm is still falls in comparison. Honestly, I would put the Baki realm under my hero, honestly, when it comes to power scale. And the things that Yujiro, I've seen him do, I heard about him doing. I'm not saying he not a dog, but, like, my guy is fighting motherfuckers with jujitsus. Like, I mean, with jutsus. Like, he's up there with a guy that ran through all of Naruto damn near, and he's able to fight on his level and give him hands to where, you know, I don't want to ruin it, but he had to kind of adjust and be like, oh, this dude is for real. So I think
I'm literally watching the fight right now.
Oh, so see, like, yeah, he's watching the fight straight hands. He's with the shit. So I think that would be my pick. I haven't seen JoJo, so I can't really speak on Jotaro, but a lot of people were saying in the comments that Jotaro is that guy. I've seen everybody else. I've seen Isaac get busy with the king. I know he has speed, but I don't know about his hands like that. And then Eren, the Attack Titan, post, like, just Attack Titan Eren, he has hands, but some of those fights early on, he was getting washed.
Yeah, I think Eren is very deservedly in last place on this poll. I don't see anybody on this list that I feel like he could beat, even in Titan form. I feel like a lot of these guys would handle him no problem.
Yeah, who do you have, Rob? Best solo
I mean, Ice has laid out a lot of it, and I agree with that. I mean, I can't speak to Yujiro. I mean, I'm seeing, you know, we got people in the comments even right now, you know, King Mike Hall saying that, you know, Yujiro can't be stopped by world governments. No armies or missiles or diseases can stop him, not even lightning. I'm like, all right, that's cool. But, like, we've never seen, I mean, I don't know. Not having seen it, I can't comment on it. I'm surprised All Might didn't get more votes. Personally, I feel like All Might, and maybe just because it's, I mean, certainly we're just seeing what Deku is capable of with all his, and, like, granted,
we didn't
all
see him get active.
Yeah. And All Might didn't have, like, access to all these different quirks. But like, if, I mean, we'll talk about this later, but for what the other students had to do to fucking catch Deku.
Yeah.
That's not even, he was at, like, full 100%.
Yeah.
All Might had full control of 100% all for like all, one for all.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we just never saw him go to that level, and I think he could certainly. I think those top three are the top three, and then there's everybody else. And I agree with that. I think I can't speak to Yujiro. I would probably put All Might closer to the top. I'd put him over him. I can't say I haven't seen it. It is what it is.
In the world, granted, I've only seen clips of season two. And I've seen all of season one when we reviewed it. I just don't see the Baki universe being as strong as the My Hero universe.
Well, I mean, they're saying like, yeah, he stopped he slapped a dinosaur. Like, I feel like All Might could fucking handle a dinosaur. Yeah, like, I don't. Yeah.
He didn't fought a man dinosaur. I'm sure.
Yeah, they have a Godzilla superhero, and he's not the number one hero. All Might is. Yeah. So, like, yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to see if...
I think Mirko can get a dinosaur up out of here.
I would think so, yeah.
Mirko's a dog.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah,
she yeah, I don't know. That's kind of... I would put All Might probably up there, and but that's because I haven't seen Might Guy and Yujiro go to their top potential. But,
what about you, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm going All Might. From what I've seen, I would have to probably watch more of Might Guy. I was watching a little bit of clips, and he was kind of getting busy, but I wasn't seeing something that would put him over All Might for me from what that particular clip that I saw. Because I mean, that first fight that Brennan showed me was just like, I was fucking all in that with My Hero after that.
Mm.
When he's fighting those Nobus. Those Nobus or whatever. I was just like, yo, he is smacking these cats, throwing like 100 punches, and he's just smiling the whole time. This shit is crazy.
Yeah.
So for me, personally, off that list, without putting Mike Guy, since I haven't seen him really get busy.
Yeah.
And I've seen, I feel like, and the other guy from JoJo, everybody else I have seen get busy. Yeah, Eren's getting washed. He's too slow.
Yeah.
You know, he's strong, but compared to their strength, he's not way stronger than anybody else.
Yeah.
And if they punch him in the back of his neck or whatever the fuck, he's like, he's out of here, bro.
A Nate punch?
Yeah, they're getting, I think all they were probably getting him up out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think he's kind of like slow, punching slow, MMA style a little bit.
Yeah.
Scrapping. It's like, yeah, if you're fighting another slow Godzilla type, I think he gives him problems. But like anybody with speed, he get him the fuck out. Because
they can just come
there
behind his nape and knock it out.
Yeah.
All right, I'm watching some Yujiro fights and like this dude is definitely giving people hands, but I'm like, I don't know. He's handling normal human beings. I mean, I don't know. He did just rip this dude's face off. Give me that.
So I think, I would think with him.
This is fucking wild. This guy goes to get the attack before he can even do anything. He's got his hand behind his face. He just slams him to the ground, rips his entire fucking face off, and throws it into the crowd as a souvenir.
And I see, for somebody like him, I think if he's... If he's in those universes, I think for him, he goes, oh, y'all this strong?
Yeah.
Give me some time.
Yeah.
He might get there.
And he gets there.
The fact that he rips somebody's face off is nuts.
Clean off.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's smooth.
He's a monster,
that ain't
bro.
Like, it's speed, but...
As a human, nobody's fucking with him just as a human with hands. I don't know.
As a human?
Because he doesn't have necessarily power powers. He's just fucking strong. He doesn't have like your guy.
My guy doesn't really have powers either.
Oh, he doesn't?
No, he's kind of like Rock Lee in a sense of like, everybody else has jutsus. I don't do that. I just give you these hands.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
that's what I got.
That's what we have. All Might, Might Guy for Ice. Let us know what y'all think in the comment section of who y'all think out of those, six?
Yep,
six cats. Let us know. All right, man. So let's jump into these shows. We're dealing with My Hero and
he's
Gurren
giving the
Lagann
business to these regular degulars.
Regular degulars. Before we do that, I just want y'all to know that you're listening to, you're watching, or listening and watching to the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
All right, man. So you know that. That's what it is. Always what it is. We get into My Hero recap first. Rob, what do you have for us?
All right, yeah, My Hero. After getting the tip from Lady Nagan about the mansion in the woods, Deku and the Alliance of Pro Heroes went to investigate. Unfortunately, all they found was an empty mansion with a recorded message from All for One taunting Deku, twisting All Might's words, "Next, it's your turn." After the message, the mansion exploded, and though the heroes were able to escape, any evidence left behind was destroyed. In the hideout, the Pro Heroes lick their wound and discuss how Nagan nearly dying only increased Deku's demand on himself, worsened still by other heroes continuing to retire. Luckily, All for One has not leaked anything out about One for All to the press, which they worry could turn people against Deku. But at least for now, they are able to rely on him to help capture criminals as they lose more and more heroes every day. Elsewhere, Deku meets with All Might, delivering another assassin sent after him by All for One. All Might tries to comfort Deku, knowing the burden and the pressure he is carrying, but Deku tells him, hey, I just need to operate on my own for now, for everybody else's safety, leaves his mentor standing in the rain. As All Might calls out to him, we see Stain is actually standing behind a nearby tree watching this all go down. As rumors start to swirl about the lone hero's identity, others reach out to Deku. Endeavor is pleased with the progress, but asks if, hey, maybe you need to rest. And the former users of One for All urge him to take time to heal, but Deku brushes them all off, continues to push himself. The former users wonder if he can keep up under all the stress, but the second user says, hey, he's acting correctly for his circumstances, but there is one thing that he lacks. Before we can find out what that thing is, we are back with Deku as he saves citizens in peril, but frightens them with his appearance and multiple quirks. Soon, though, as he is nearly collapsing with exhaustion, he's attacked by another assassin, the villain Dictator, who can take over control of people's bodies. Deku fights to get to his feet as he is swarmed by body-controlled people against their will, and it seems like he has no strength left to fight back when out of nowhere, Dictator is hit with an explosion from Bakugo. In a flashback, we see that the other students of Class 1A reacting to Deku's letter leaving them. They all decide that they don't want to let him fight alone. They march to the principal's office when Endeavor is there and confront him on working Deku too hard. Todoroki kills him further by saying, hey, I thought we all agreed to fight together, and it's enough to let them let them in on the operation, and you know, Endeavor lets them know what Deku's whereabouts are. Further, the principal says that Deku is welcome back to UA anytime, and that the defenses set up for the student festival are still in place. Back in the present, Class 1A quickly apprehends Dictator and tells Deku to come back home with them to the school. Still, though, he is concerned for their safety if All for One were to come looking for him there. He tells them to get out of his way and charges through them, telling them that the fight is too dangerous for them all. One by one, his classmates try and stop him, reminding him of good times and memories of Deku saving them when they needed him. Deku continues to charge through them, however, while still trying not to hurt them. Finally, he uses all of his speed and power and quirks to all together in concert to get a high-speed burst away from them. But the class works together and sends Aida flying after him. He nearly goes supernova, but he does catch Deku and reminds him of his words when Deku told him that meddling, where you're not needed, is the essence of being a hero. It's enough to finally stop Deku, and he tells him that he can't come back because he's scared of what could happen to them. Bakugo steps forward and finally apologizes to him for years of bullying. He tells Deku that he has done well with the powers he's inherited, but they need to work together if he's going to reach the ideals that he set for himself. As he collapses, we see that the second user said that the one thing Deku needs is others with him with the same resolve to support him. Deku wakes up and we see the towering security walls around UA. Pro Hero 13 is also there with his classmates, and they tell him that he will be surprised at the many security updates. However, inside they can hear the noise of the refugees that they have welcomed to the campus as they are protesting. They say that they are sheltering there for safety, and bringing Deku in is like bringing a time bomb amongst them. As Deku turns to leave, Ararika stops and steps forward to speak in his defense, and that is where we leave off in episodes 22 and 23 of My Hero.
Ooh, darkness. Yeah, this show has been, I feel like there hasn't been an episode this season for it that's really been at least either not enjoyable to watch or not, like, just something's in there to where it just makes you want to keep watching this shit.
Yeah.
This season has been, I feel like, on point. Man, let's jump into it. First questions of the day. If Deku versus Class A had been a real fight, and you mean real fight as in, like, all right, we're letting the gloves come off.
Gloves are off.
This is a murder. Death match.
They are here to beat each other. It is one side is Deku. The other side is all of Class 1A.
Who comes out on top? Rob, who you have?
Honestly, based off of this display, I'm giving it to Deku. We talked about, like, and we've been talking about this for a while, like, when I was saying even, you know, when Bakugo and Deku. When Bakugo beat Deku, I was like, he better revel in that victory because that is the last fucking time that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this showed that, like, Deku is a world apart from where they are now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the only reason, you know what I mean? Look at what they had to do just to catch this dude as he was going, faux 100%, as he called it.
Yeah.
You know, he was using, like, 45% of his power for most of that, and it was all they could do to keep up
and
with
he was
him.
Already, and he was smoked. He was smoked.
And this he, is, yeah. exactly. He's on his last leg at this point. He's been going at this for fucking days.
And they were throwing everything at him.
I mean, all of them. Like, they had, my guy, the crow dude, had him wrapped up in, like, a dark tower. They were wrapped up. He had, fucking sleep attire that had been manufactured by that other hero.
Yeah.
Like, they had him locked down, and he still he flexed and bust out of that.
Yeah.
Like, no problem.
No, it is easy.
And the thing is, like, he even said, because they're not coming for me, they're not setting off my danger sense. Yeah. And I think that's the only reason Todoroki gets him trapped in an ice wall. That's the only reason some of them even got him pinned down for a second is because they're not setting off his danger sense because they're trying to help him.
Yeah.
They're not trying to hurt him. If they're trying to hurt him, he knows everything that's coming. He's taking them out one by one.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think that's a great answer. I think that's a... It's an obvious answer.
You want to see the team up, man. I get it.
And here's the thing. You know, if both had time to prepare, I think if they knew how to use their powers correctly, they give him some issues. Todoroki, and I know that's my guy, Capricorn or whatever, but he should be able to, he could honestly probably freeze the water in your body.
That would be an interesting way to go
about it.
And
that would get you up out of here.
He's not at that level, though.
I mean, we don't know if he can go,
unless you're spoiling something.
I'm not spoiling anything. But I'm just saying, I think these guys are at levels that they're not pushing because they're not killers. Mm. But I think once you push any of them, including Deku, if you push them to killer, it's all right, we're putting it in our brains that we're trying to kill each other. Mm-hmm. Whoever it was another villain that said you have to kill each other and go all out, I think that powers exceed at certain points in times. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, whether it's Bakugo's, Todoroki's, I mean, fucking the acid girl, whatever. Like, I think that's going to be a problem at that particular point. Because I don't even think when she does her acid stuff, she goes... I think she did, like...
She was only, like, 5% of her...
Yeah. Yeah, that could be dangerous as fuck, too.
It could be, but I don't think...
You gotta land it.
She's gotta land it,
but she's also teaming up with 10 other characters. Mm-hmm. So they can do something to where they're either using that, forming it all together, or tricking them, dodging them, grabbing them, whatever the case may be. I think it's not as easy as we think it is. And I don't think he's just watching them that easy.
And we haven't seen the last quirk yet, right? Yeah. The second user's quirk we haven't seen yet.
No, we haven't seen. I think Deku is getting him up out of there, but I think a longer fight would not help him. I think it's one of those like, oh, I got to get y'all. If it was the kill switch was on for everybody, he's killing them fast. If that fight goes past a minute, 2 minutes, like, he's going to be in trouble. Because I think the longevity of the fight, of them can get in formations, they can do something. And that's Deku right now. I think Deku that fought in the provisional training thing with the teams and shit, I think they might can get him up out of there.
Sure.
I think any Deku previously, the vigilante Deku, they'll have a chance. But post-Shigaraki fight Deku, he's getting him up out of there.
I mean,
I don't think it's close.
I'll reframe this question a little bit. Do you think any of the other students could have handled Muscular the way Deku did?
I think
he took out Muscular again with 45% power. Like that.
I think they could.
I think there's certain characters that, of course, they would do it differently. But I think I think
Bakugo would have got a 1v1 him. Todoroki can 1v1 him.
I think
those top guys of the class can 1v1 him.
Yeah, sure. Same. That's what I think. I think the top of the two guys, I think they're just not as strong as him, of course, with all the. But it's also too. It's like he's working with like a full deck. Nobody else is.
Yeah,
that's true.
So it's just. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, even with if he has like his super strength keyed up to where it's at, I don't think any one of them can take a hit more than one. I think if he lands a 100% full cowling on literally anybody in that class, except for maybe the hardening guy, they're toast.
Yeah,
yeah,
they just can't take that sort of physical damage.
Red Riot,
but and that's why I think that if they're all going against him with all their powers, and then they came together with a plan, I think Deku will be in a whole heap. Because it's just like, all right, I agree with you. I think 100% cowing doesn't knock out the armor dude. I don't think it crushes him. You know what I'm saying? But if you use that, I just think it'd be tougher than
he'd
what it
be
is.
Punching holes through people.
Yeah.
If the kill switch is on, he's punching. He's not punching to knock you out. He's punching to kill. He's punching people's heads off. He's decapitating people's. He gonna be seeing when motherfuckers ate for lunch. Like
it's gonna be fucking Omni Man.
Omni
Man
exactly.
level.
And he gonna be just destroying everybody again.
Yo,
first minute or two, he has to get him out of there.
Bro,
then it'd be
Omni
hard.
Deku will be fucking crazy.
That would
bro.
Be wild.
That'll be. I want to see somebody make like an animation of him just going ham.
Omni Deku
and fighting villains and heroes and just seeing how he's just punching everybody's face off.
That would be crazy.
That would be fucking crazy. All right, next question. So we saw Deku kind of went about it his own way, feeling like, yo, I don't want to get my team in trouble. I don't want to get people possibly hurt, anybody killed like that. These are my friends. I love them. Do you think he took the right route in doing that? Me personally, I don't think he did. If this is me, if I'm Deku, I'm pulling the strongest cast that I think, or I'm going off, not even just the strongest, who can help me the most? Since I know Deku is a strategy guy, he knows everybody's quirks. I'm pulling in the top 10 of those people and be like, look, here's the deal. This is what's happening. This is what's going on. But death is around the corner. All y'all ain't gonna make it back, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love y'all. I really don't want anybody to get killed. So if you down, you down. But I understand if you not. But mm-hmm. I think if this is my homies, I'm letting y'all in. Like, we gotta get it, man. Cause I know I can't do it on my own. I know we saw what happened. You're not just going up against One For All. You're going up against fucking Shigaraki and One For All and the rest of their people.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you need somebody to at least get them the fuck up off you. Because they're coming all for you. They don't care. They're not doing that whole one-on-one shit. They're like, we all everything. Coming for your ass.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm going to need you probably to take care of these people over here. You take care of them. I might need you to back me up over here if some shit goes down. But I'm not one being that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
What about you, Ice?
Yeah, I would say that I wouldn't have went about it his way. I would have did, I guess, like kind of like what you said, a hybrid of it. I was like, you guys can roll with me until a certain point. We go together to this point, and then, all right, we're here. This is just me from here on out. Once I see all for one, I'm like, all right, y'all, thank y'all. I appreciate y'all's services. Now it's time for me to do what I do best.
Or pull the fight away from them. Be like, all right, me and you, we fighting away from here.
Yeah. But I would get some help up until then. Getting people out the way, saving people like he was doing and all of that. No, I'm not here for that. That's lower tier hero shit for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, like, y'all ball, dude. Go get you some balls and get them people up out of here. Stick them away from here. But I'm not just going around saving everybody. If I see somebody on the way, cool. But, like, he was going in a little, like, oh, this person was scared of this fucking, I guess, what she was, a dolphin or whatever the fuck she was, or lizard woman.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All that shit. He don't have no business doing that. He need to be out there with big dogs getting shit done. So I think that I would be with them to help me with that. But then when the big dogs pull up, I'm fighting him.
Yeah. Rob?
Yeah, no, I don't think he, I mean, I'll make it unanimous, I think. I don't think he did the right thing. You know, I certainly see why he made the choices he did, but I think that, you know, not giving his classmates a choice in the matter or even just presenting it to him, especially what they've been through, like, you know, this is not just like a regular class of kids. Like, they talk about it all the time. These kids in their first or second year, wherever they're at this point, have faced more than any other class, you know, up to that point, to the point where they've dealt with real adult supervillains that are going for the kill at times.
Yeah.
Like, and they've handled it. Yeah. Like, so to kind of put them, to sideline them like that and not have them be around at all is a mistake, I think. And, like, I see why he did what he did. And, like, it does, you know, I'm always going to find a way to fit Star Wars into it. It does remind me a lot of, like, Return of the Jedi when Luke is like, Vader's coming for me. And, like, I can't afford to be around these other people because if he shows up, he's going to run through everybody to get to me.
Yeah.
But those were just regular folks.
Yeah.
Like, they have, like, a blaster and, you know, that's about it.
That's
these are super-powered individuals that have trained to do exactly this.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to just leave them sidelined is not only a disservice to them as your friends, your classmates, but it's just kind of irresponsible.
And honestly, you saw what they can do. Yeah. So now I'll be like, hey, bro, you saw what can happen. Y'all need to all turn it up. There's no holding back. Go. Yeah, I'll be like, yo, I'm giving you a push button. Kill these motherfuckers, man. Kill them, dog. Todoroki, freeze somebody to death, man. Yeah. Something. So, yeah, I mean, it's unanimous.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the end of My Hero Academia. What are your our likes and dislikes and scores for these two episodes? All right, so go ahead.
Huh? Wait. You didn't do my question.
Oh, we didn't? Oh, my bad. I thought we did the last one.
I was going to let I see that. Especially since you went in first.
All right, so
fuck me, huh?
So just to add on to that, would you have kept your friends from making, when have you kept your friends from making a bad decision? So, you know, like his friends came in there and saved him, whatever, at the end. They came in there and hugged him. We love you. We're all friends. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. And all that bullshit. So when have your friends stopped you from making a bad decision? Ice.
One time, my friends saved me from getting set up by a girl. Because I came late to a party and she was talking to me, but I guess I had beef with some other guys. I was very young. I had beef with some other guys and my friends were there earlier in the party and I didn't know that they were trying to talk. They were talking to her before the party started. So when I came to the party, the girl was talking to me and she was just like, oh, you should come back with me. You know what type of time I'm on. I'm like, all right, yeah, let's go. Like, let me do the things. And then they stopped me like, hey, man, I don't think you should go because we saw her with these dudes and you know, and when I got there, they weren't there anymore.
Mm.
So the guys that I had beef with, so they was like, you know, if we saw, you can go at your own risk, but I don't think you should go because we saw her talking to them and it felt like a setup. And come to find out, it was a setup. Like, I didn't go. I was just like, all right. I listened to him. I'm like, yeah, y'all got my best interest in mind. If y'all saying this what it was. At first, I was like, y'all just hating because I'm going with her, and y'all just want to say that to keep me. And it was like, nah, bro, like, no bullshit. Like, don't do it. And I didn't. And come to find out, she did. Because she kept, like, persisting. I'm like, something weird. Like, something up. Like, I know I'm fine, but goddamn. Like, something wrong here.
You're doing too much.
Yeah, you're doing too much. And then come to find out, like, later on, I found out that they was trying to, like, set me up and so they can jump me and stuff. So, shout out to those guys. Shout out to my boys.
Rob.
I don't know, man. Maybe I need better friends because I can't think. I can't think of a time where it was just like I was about to make some sort of, like, crazy bad decision and I had people had to talk me out of it. Maybe I just don't be making decisions that are that bad.
That's probably more that.
Yeah.
It could be that. So, yeah, I mean, if I think of something, I'll chime in. But right now I'm like, I don't think I have anything where it's just like, man, I was on the verge of something super bad and, like, they talked me out of it. Like, for the most part, like, I don't know. I guess it's been pretty chill.
Yeah, I mean, I probably could have got killed on one of the ones that I went to when I was with a girl before. Yeah. I went to clearly a Crip neighborhood that I should not have been in at around 3 a.m. to get some old cheeks.
Some
senior citizen cheeks. some 40-plus-year-old cheeks, and I was like 21, 22.
AARP.
Some AARP cheeks?
The AAR pussy? Damn.
Damn.
That's nuts.
But a time, actually, it was this dude, me and him, we're cool to this day, but He was known. I'm gonna say this before here, but he was known for these hands.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually listens to the podcast from time to time. But he was known for these hands. And I did something, and remember he chased me and he tripped me, and I fell and my face hit the fucking lunch table. And you know, I got up like I was ready to fight. I wanted to fight this dude, and I was confident in my ability to fight. And then my boy was just like, hey man, like, don't do this. He didn't talk to him. He was like, hey man, Keaton was just, you know, he was wilding out, man. He was tripping on. You know what I'm saying? He's telling him, like, no, don't.
Yeah,
he was just like, hey, because he's like, after school, I'm just going to walk up to Keaton and we're going to have to throw these motherfucking hands.
Mm.
And I remember talking to my boy. I was like, man, I'm like, I don't give a fuck, I'm ready. He's just like, all right, let me just be honest with you, Keaton. This is not a problem that you want to deal with. Bro.
He's going
to like, once he goes, there's not really stopping this guy, man. Yeah. It's like, he don't do
how
this.
How old are y'all?
We're in middle school, but he was known for knocking, like, even still to this day, he's not a big dude, like a tall guy, but he's knocked out bigger dudes. Mm. Like, he's that guy.
Mm.
And he's a hey, man, I don't want no problems. I told you I don't want no problems. Third time I told you, I don't want no problems, and then you're on the floor.
Damn.
I mean, he knows. Yeah. He knows at that point.
He's literally, we called him like kind of like a little Tyson a little bit.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember afterwards, he's walking up to me, and I was just like, hey, man, you know, my bad for earlier. And then we kind of chopped it up. He was cool. And then I saw him fight not too long after that. And I was like, this motherfucker would have probably put me in a hospital, bro.
You saw your life flash before your
eyes. And for me, I wasn't like, I was always a slimmer kid. Like, so I'm not sitting there saying I was never this super, super tough guy, but I wasn't a punk either.
Yeah.
But I saw what he did. I wasn't doing that. I wasn't at that level. Yeah. This dude was like boxing. Like,
he was
boxing,
slipping and moving,
and had power shots. I never, in all honesty, at that particular age, I didn't even see that yet. Mm. Everybody that was fighting was kind of just like, what's up, motherfucker? And they'd be swinging. He had calculated punches, dodges, moves, slipping, fast, all type of shit. I was like, I've never even seen that level yet.
Damn. Mm.
That would have put me in a different state of mind.
And you didn't have the evidence. You didn't know.
And luckily, like I said, me and him, we're cool to this day. We literally talk. He hits me about anime and shit like that. He'd be like, oh, so we're super cool. We hoop. After that, we was hooping all the time together, like super tight. And we were friends before that. So, you know, it was just that one little hiccup.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, I'm glad it didn't happen.
You got to get in the ring with Spec, bro.
No, you got to get in the ring. You called out Spec.
I didn't call him out. Let's make that clear.
You called him out. All right, so let's give our likes, dislikes, scores for My Hero Academia. Back to ice on that.
To me, it was cool, man. I think it was cool to kind of have that quasi civil war, I guess, as you want to call it. It was cool. I think the keeps pushing the story forward, even though I feel like this was kind of not a reset of sorts, but it's just like I feel like. Saying that it's spinning his wheels is an overstatement. I don't think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
I feel like as much as the story has been pushed, it didn't push the story too much. Outside of Sean Stain, I don't really think that this could have. I wish they would have did more in this time. I think it was cool to see, but we knew the outcome. We knew that he was gonna fold to friendship. We knew that he was gonna, you know, succumb, I guess, to friendship. But it didn't really do nothing for me in the sense of like what the other episodes did. And maybe, you know, these last couple episodes haven't been to the level of the Shigaraki fight in the One for All for One fight. And I guess now I have to kind of train my brain of like, hey, that was a moment. They was pedal to the metal up until then. They're kind of just easing back on it, and we just need to enjoy what this is now. And I think with that lens, I probably would have enjoyed it more. But I do think that this might have been some of the weaker episodes of the series. Still great, but weaker of the bunch. So for that, I'm gonna give it a 6,700.
I disagree with everything you're saying. I think that these episodes were dope as hell. I think we're watching a whole season of something. We can't get Shigaraki again. We can't get that for like 20 episodes. We can't get that for 20 episodes straight.
We got a bunch. They've already shown that they can give you a lot in a long period of time.
Right, and they have to also be like, all right, Deku has to grow as a character. And right now, the moves that he made, these episodes to me had to happen. With him, with his friends. So
sure.
For me, that's why I'm not mad at it. It's like this episode 100% made sense. It was a needed episode for him to be like, all right, wait a second. His character development is going to a place where it's just like, all right, it's going dark. He's changing into a whole nother motherfucker that we've never seen and probably even never thought he would ever be, at least from the beginning of the show.
Yeah. But right? Is it dark?
I mean,
what's dark about it?
In a sense of just him being like, he's looked at it as a villain when he's a hero. The tone of the show is darker. Like, everything, it just seems even darker. It's not even necessarily a lighter, happier show. There's not as much humor on the show as much as it once was. There's a few laughter points here and there, but even with Bakko and even with him.
Yeah, I laughed pretty hard, actually, when they flung, like, Aida at him. And, like, he's going so fast, literally his fucking armor's getting stripped off of him and his glasses are falling apart. That got me to chuckle, actually.
I guess it's dark for what the show has brought us so far.
Right,
not
in tone of like it's not dark as like other shows that we probably watch. But I'm saying for this particular show, the tone is different. And so I think for me, so far this season, every episode that's been done that we've seen has been an episode that's made sense and has been kind of needed for the show. You know what I'm saying? I personally am not looking forward to the Shigaraki type of action again until probably either the end of season and getting on to the next season, because it's like, one, that costs a lot of money. So they're probably just like, hey, we need to chill on the budget for right now. Fuck.
But that was big budget too, though. All of that was big budget. That whole team up, team versus Deku, everybody versus Deku.
That's fair to say.
You saw everybody's powers.
You did.
That takes a lot of money.
That's fair to say. I would still say it probably wasn't up to that much money, but like it's fair to say to a point. But I feel like still these episodes were fun. It was needed. They made sense. It brought you back in. It also too lets you know like now Deku is the guy. We knew he was the guy, but we let everybody else know that he's now the guy for sure.
Yeah.
The whole team knows. We let you know what he has. He has all these powers. He is the best hero that we probably have. And you guys are all fighting for fucking second and third.
Tanjiro should take notes.
So for me personally, I haven't not liked an episode.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I've enjoyed all of this.
I've loved these episodes.
It was a good episode.
And I think every episode has made sense for what they were. I can't compare any of these episodes to Shigaraki. It's not even fucking fair to do that.
Shigaraki. I think just everything leading up to that. I just feel like what they had on display, that stretch, that's a crazy stretch. Just in anime terms, that's a crazy stretch that they went on leading up to the fight happening, those episodes of the fight. But very seldom have you seen an anime stretch like that. So then for them to hit the brakes and then come down as much as they have, and then I guess this is them, I don't even know if it's ramping up, but I feel like if you're going to come down, that's just a hard drop.
And to me, it wasn't a hard drop. I don't think the drop was as far as it. To me personally, as hard as you're saying, it's not that hard of a drop off for me. It dropped somewhat, but I think they're about to get ready to go again.
So
and I think that's what it is. It's like they didn't hit the brakes and hit the ground. I was like, all right, if they was going 100 miles an hour, they dropped to maybe like 70, maybe 60. But like, it's like,
which all right, is a world of a difference.
I mean,
one is a ticket, and the other one is you people blowing at you because you in the way. That's a world of a difference.
I mean, both is a ticket. 70 miles an hour is actually over the speed limit. But yeah. Everywhere. Like,
would you say 60?
I said 70 or 60, depending. Mm. For me, it's a 70. You said it dropped more than that. But, like, so for me, I just, to end my score off, I mean, those other episodes are so high, I do have to keep my score lower because of that, which is fair. So I get it's like a 75. But, like, this is the show I look forward to the most out of anything that I'm watching. And then out of shows that I've watched since like Take Seven, right? The Jujutsu Kaisons.
There we go.
The Jujutsu Kaisons, the Demon Slayers, and I haven't seen this new episode of Attack on Titan, so I can't put it out there yet. So it's like this has been the most fun and hype that I've seen a show in a while. Rob?
Yeah, no, I mean, in a way, I do agree with both of you. Like, I think this is probably, over these two episodes, we had about an episode and a half's worth of content that got stretched out a little bit.
Yep.
That being said, there was, I think it felt like that because as emotional as the second episode was, and like, it was, like, for me, like, watching that, I was like, damn, like, I was in my feelings a little bit about everybody's like talking about like, hey, remember the times with Deku and all that. That being said, like, I'm just like, okay, like, we got to get Bird Boy up out of here like quick because and Mineta and like all that because I mean, there are certainly, even amongst his classmates, there are so many of them that like there are some that where those connections mean a lot more than others.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's like, okay, I see why they had to take a moment for literally every single person to say their thing and say their piece and yada yada, but I only cared about like maybe 2/3 of them.
Yeah.
That's right. That being said, I mean, the first episode, I think the stuff with, I mean, what All For One, him like knowing how shit was going to work out, still playing with Deku, even doing like, it's your turn next and turning those words on him. The way he's manipulating Deku, even just from the shadows, is fucking diabolical. I love what, I mean, he's just top tier villain stuff again and again.
He is.
And the fact that he is trying to separate Deku from his support system, I think is very telling. And the fact that he's trying to get him out on his own, and the fact that he told Dictator, he's just like, you're going to find this dude. He's going to be alone. He's going to be exhausted. He was. He knew exactly what he was going to do. That, to me, and that looming threat is still one of the best parts of the show to me. I mean, as much as I liked the second episode and the moments with the bigger characters, I thought really hit with Bakugo, with Vaida, you know, with those characters that he really has that bond with. Those moments were really cool. Like, there was other stuff that I'm like, all right. You know, he and Acid Girl, like, all right, whatever. So that being said, I mean, I really enjoyed it. It definitely has been slowing down, but I do think these moments are important. To wrap it up, I would give these episodes 7,500. That seems fair to me.
All right. Let's get into Gurren Lagann episodes 16 and what?
15 and 17.
15 and 17, because 16 was a recap.
Gotcha.
So yeah, here we go. Team Dai Gurren scrambles as the towers of the Spiral Capital fall to Earth, destroying a lot of their remaining forces and revealing a colossal gunman underneath. Stranger still, the crew picks up their signal coming from the gunman that is identical to Gurren Lagann's. Simon, eager to end the fight, flies above the clouds and at the Spiral King, but he flicks away Gurren Lagann's attack, literally. He's able to charge in again when Neo reaches out from the ship and reminds him that, hey, I need to speak with her father and settle things. So Gurren Lagann picks her up while the rest of the team engages the countless gunman soldiers that fly out of the capital. Simon, Rosu, and Nia fly in behind Dai Gurren as they use the knife point of the ship to carve a hole in the capital. The crew is able to escape in the mech part of the ship as they detonate the rest, allowing Gurren Lagann to get inside. Not only is the Spiral King waiting for them there, but Viral is looking for revenge as well, bragging about a new immortal body the king has given to him. Simon easily dispatches him again, though, and the Spiral King says the body is not to help him win the fight, but to keep him alive forever so that he can tell the story of the Spiral King's victory. Nia tries talking sense to her father to get him to admit to his crimes against humanity, but he says that everything he's done has been to protect humans, as they are a danger to themselves. He continues that Simon is not the only one with spiral power, and he descends into a Gurren Lagann-like mech of his own, powered by a drill just like Simon's. Gurren Lagann throws everything it has at the Spiral King's mech, but everything that they can do, he can do better, and the fight starts turning against them. Spiral King says that their fighting style reminds him of another that he fought that had fought for freedom, but he plans to kill them just like he did the others. Simon takes Gurren solo to try and take over the Spiral King's gunman, but he counters the attack by turning into a giant drill. Simon then heads has Gurren drill him right back, pause, and the Spiral King decides to go hand-to-hand. Getting out of his gunman, he punches Gurren in the face, doing enough damage to stop the mech in its track and shut it down. Rosio and Nia look on as the Spiral King pummels Simon with his fist, and it seems like it's curtains for the kid. Simon has one last trick up his sleeve, however, plunging his drill key into the Spiral King's chest, blowing a hole in him the size of a medicine ball. Spiral King is defeated, but as he breathes his last, he says that humanity's struggles aren't over. He warns that when their population reaches 1 million, Hell's messengers will come from the moon and destroy their world. He and his giant capital fall as Simon and Nia embrace, having defeated the Beastman army and freeing humanity. From there, we jump 7 years into the future. Humanity has advanced by leaps and bounds, including their futuristic capital, Communist City. Simon continues to be the leader of humanity with Rosio as his right-hand man and many others from Daigern serving on his government. In the last 7 years, they discovered some answers, such as, you know, the old man Beastman is some sort of guardian for Nia, but other mysteries, such as the Spiral King's last words, have remained unsolved. Not for lack of trying, though, as Nia brings Simon his lunch, they check in with Liron, who launches a humanity's first rocket to the moon to see if their enemies are up there. Still, it seems like Daigern was better suited for fighting rather than governing, as Simon and Rosio struggle to get their council to do their jobs and monitor the world's population so that they know when they reach 1 million. Kitsan tries to cheer up the others on the council from their lecture, reminding them that they have reasons to celebrate, as another on the council is expecting his first child with one of Kidon's sisters. Nia goes to visit the pregnant Kyo and her sister Kial and tells them that Simon proposed to her, but misunderstanding what marriage is, she told him no. The girls explain better what it is, and she decides to call Simon and change her answer. Simon stands by a statue of Kamina as he thinks back on the day Yoko left to be on her own, saying that the government life was not for her and that Simon should take care of Nia. As he thinks about that memory, he gets the call from Nia and celebrates her change of heart. His celebration is cut short, though, when Rosio approaches with bad news. Anti-government rebels seem to have been attacking the edges of their civilization, and worse, they are being led by Viral. Simon wants to charge in and face the Beastmen himself, but Rosio says that he is too important and has their security forces, led by an aged-up Gimian Derry, to handle it instead. Viral is defeated again, and his gunman finally gives out. Simon questions him remotely and finds out that Viral has been helping out humans who chose to remain underground. They were unhappy because they were being forced to live on the surface through programs implemented by Rosio. Simon grows angry with Rosio for making people do this, but Rosio, hey, says, you know, I'm making the hard choices that others have had lack the insight to make, and that's how, if we got to keep an eye on our population, this is how we got to do it. Angry, Rosio retreats to his lab where he worked with Kenan and others who tell him that he's the only one keeping the government running. That night, Kyo gives birth to a daughter, and when Nia tries to give Simon a call with the news, she's overcome with a strange red light and disappears as the population hits 1 million. Simon, meanwhile, looks over the city as a portal opens under the moon and a mysterious craft emerges and starts laying waste to the city. Gimmy and Derry and other security forces and gunmen modeled after Gurren Lagann try fighting the craft but are totally ineffective, and most of them wind up destroyed. Simon soon arrives, however, with Gurren Lagann, eager to fight. Rosio tells Simon that he is too important to be on the front lines, but Simon won't hear it. He blasts the ship with an attack, breaking it into tiny pieces, and it seems like victory at first, but those pieces explode, causing massive destruction everywhere around the city. Rosio starts laying into Simon for his fuck-up and with I told you so's, but he is interrupted when Nia broadcasts herself to all of humanity, lit up in dark red light, to say that she is with the anti-spirals and that they have decided that humanity has become a level 2 threat, and they have activated their human eradication system. And from there, we will find out what happens next on Gurren Lagann.
Oh, all right, Gurren Lagann, stepping it up a little bit. Or are they?
Or are they?
All right, let's get into the questions. Thank you, Rob, for the recap, as always. First question. So, did the Spiral King live up to the hype? We saw all that was going on. He talked a lot of shit. Like, he had the hands. Did it live up to the hype, man? At first, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When he was getting busy, I was like, all right, this is the villain that I'm talking about on this show that we fucking finally need. He's getting to work. It's seeming like he has full control over his Gurren or whatever the case may be, and he's like scrapping like it's like a human pretty much.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool. I actually was about to pose a question. Could he beat Mikazuki?
Oh. Because
I was just like, the way he's fighting in there, I was like, he might be able to. He's more agile. He can get it done. Mm-hmm. He's about that business.
He had 1,000 years of experience under his belt.
Yeah, I was like, he'll get it done. But then he gets worked.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that. Why? Like, you set this guy to be this and then that? Like, this, mm-hmm. you took out two good characters, in a sense, fast.
Who's the other?
The first one was Kamina.
Kamina,
right?
On both sides.
Yeah, you took him out quickly. mm-hmm. without, you know, I feel like giving him his just due and then getting him out of there. And then his power, can you lead him as a villain? And it's like, I guess, all right, he's clearly not the main villain. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, but you lead him up like he was. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I think he was, he's not as big as a pump fake as Park Moo-jin was.
No, mm-hmm. at all.
Because he actually got to work.
Yes.
Yeah. But I still think he did live up to the hype because I was hoping if he would have won. My goal was like he would have won, and then they had to get back to the shits, fight him again a second or third time, and then that's the end of the series. Mm. But no, I was wrong, clearly. You already know about this stuff, so let's go to Rob real quick.
I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said. In some ways, yeah. I mean, he clearly was much better at mech fighting than Simon was. And hand to hand too. I mean, I didn't mention it in the recap, but I mean, he had like fucking flaming energy coming out of his head and was literally beating the shit out of his armored mech with his bare hands. Like there was a minute there, it was just like, yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do. I know somehow they're gonna figure a way out because I figured
he pulled
out
of the armor, everything. So I'll fight you like regular form.
He was beating them every which way that he could take it. Mm-hmm. But eventually, obviously, Simon came out on top. Did he live up to the hype to get to the question? I guess no, because they do say it is framed as though he's a big bad. I can't say that I'm disappointed. I can get more to that on my thoughts, overall of what they're doing with this. But I don't think, I mean, he was framed as the end all be all, and it's clear from this that he was not, and that there's a larger world and a larger threat that these characters weren't even aware of yet that we're just starting to see. So no, I would say he didn't live up to the hype and the fact that he wasn't the end all be all.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I would say they didn't, with the amount of time that they spent with him, you would think 17 episodes, 16 episodes, give or take 15 episodes if you want to take out all the recaps. You spend 15 episodes with a guy in a 26, 27 episode anime, I would say that he got to give you more than, an episode and a half of hands.
Sure.
I think to get him out of there, he has four generals who had more screen time, honestly, than him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Viral came back a bunch of times. Yes. Adine came back a bunch of times. So it's like they got way more screen time, and they're under him. Like, no spoilers, but it's safe to say that, like, there's a big gap between Muzan and the upper rank. Demons.
Yes.
Like, that's been solidified in two seasons now.
Yep.
I didn't see that big gap in their, I guess, again, the time frame. It's not that same gap of people. Like, it's not that same gap of power between. It is, but you got him, he packed him up in way less time than he packed up any of the other four generals.
Yeah.
So it's like, why spend all this time with this guy, even if there is a bigger thing? And me is watching it. I felt that even the first time watching it, the initial time watching it, I was like, damn, they did spend a lot of time on a guy that did not, you know, stay on screen long. At least hand him an L or two. Like, he didn't even get nobody big up out of there. Viral got Kamina out of there.
He kind of.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a sense.
So it's like, in a sense. So it's like, Where was the Viral King's big thing to where he at least had some casualty? He didn't get Kidan out of there. He didn't get his sisters. He didn't get the old man out of there. There was nobody on that list that he took off the map.
I think that's a good point. That, like, if he had taken somebody out that was a big player for the good guys, I think this would be a different conversation. Because like, obviously for the show, for it to only be this, like, you know, a little bit past halfway or so, like, he wasn't going to be. You know, he was. They were gonna have to get the win.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, he was doing it. And this kind of gets into some of my frustrations with the show is that it did seem like a little bit of plot armor where he was beating them.
Yeah.
All out. Like,
convincingly.
They had, like, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, he was a big gap above his generals because.
Yep.
Simon and Kamina had handled all the generals no fucking problem.
Yeah.
And then they got to get up against this guy and they had no answer.
Yeah.
Until Simon uses his drill thing for like some big energy beam attack that has not really been set up, explained, or really sort of been worked into the show at
touched
all.
On, yeah.
So it's not like we could even be like, oh, Simon's going to use the key thing right here.
Yeah,
it just happened because it had to happen.
Yeah.
And so I think because of that, it's
fighting
it's
a mech barehanded is nuts. Like, no suit. That's
what
he accomplished in that short period of time was dope.
But at the same time, it's the same thing we say with Rengoku. It's like, you did some dope shit in a short period of time, but at the same time, you still got to get up out of here. They still got you up out of here.
If anything, I feel like the show maybe shortchanged him.
Yeah.
More sure. than he was a disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder in the manga, is it different? Was he more of a big bad player? Did he have more? And was they saying in this show, like, pretty much, we got one season to wrap this shit up, so we got to cut shit short.
And that's one thing about Gurren Lagann. I've never heard anything about the manga. Like, nobody has... Everybody says the show is great. Everybody say that they love the show. But as far as the manga is concerned, I've never heard somebody that's read the manga to even speak to it.
Yeah. All right, next question. So we saw them get down in groups on this show. A lot of times, there's so many players on this show, in a sense, when they're jumping in and fighting. And I really don't care about none of the motherfuckers. But so in watching the show, do you prefer one-on-one showdowns in general, or big battles, Ice?
I'm a one-on-one showdown kind of guy. I think fight choreography is such a great thing, especially when it comes to either live action or animation, just to see two people duke it out, especially if they have a story following up to the fight. I think big battles initially are cool. I mean, what comes to mind is the big fight in the Avengers, like seeing all your favorite characters running in towards the enemy and fighting. I think that initial, like, roller coaster, like, oh shit, but then, like, after that, it's like, all right, Captain over here doing this, Black Panther's doing that, okay, that's cool, but, like, I want those one-on-one fights, even the lightsaber fights, when it's a bunch of people going after it, it's cool, but when you see that just one-on-one, like those one-on-one showdowns by a mile, I'll pick those.
Rob.
Yeah, I agree with that, because there's so much more personal stakes usually in those showdowns.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually when you have those matchups, it's like you have people that, you know, they have issues and it goes way back. And so there's emotional shit going on behind the fight. Versus, like, it's fun to see, you know, like you say, like Captain America and, like, you know, Black Panther or whatever, just, like, mow down a bunch of fucking, like, you know, Thanos aliens or whatever. That's cool for, like, a minute.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's cool for, like, you know, the visuals. But you're right. Like, even watching this show, like, to get back to Gurren Lagann, there's been so many reinforcements at this point that have shown up versus, you know, countless gunmen that it's just, like, what do they say? Like, you know, one death is a tragedy, like a thousand is a statistic. Yeah. It kind of feels like that, where I'm just like, none of this means anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, like, we haven't had any time to, like, spend with these characters, really, to give them that sort of meaningful time that, yeah, I'm just like, they could get those twins up out of here, I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
There's like another few, like there's like an older guy character that's not, you know, the old man beastman that I'm like, I literally could not tell you their names.
Yeah.
Or really what they do. So if they went down, it would be whatever. So yeah, I guess when it comes down to it, those 1v1s are way more impactful and hold much more weight.
All right. I mean, I don't know, it's weird. It's like, I love a big group battle, and then it kind of like you having, they'll highlight the one-on-one moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, cut in and out.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's like if Rob had a main antagonist that he was going against, but we were all fighting, and we all had our kind of main battle fights. Like, it's going to be like that in, I mean, I guess it's not necessarily a spoiler, but for real, but it's like in My Hero, that last battle that they're at, everybody's getting the fuck down.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Everybody is.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I don't think you're going to be like, oh, I don't really care about this. Maybe one or two.
No.
But we're going to be like, yo, we can watch this fight for a good few episodes right here.
Sure. Yeah. You know, but, like, I'm assuming for a lot of those, it kind of boils down to, it's a lot of 1v1s kind of happening at the same time, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like how they're breaking it down anyways. It's like you might have one or two people fighting that one person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily like eight people fighting one or like just like mayhem going on. It's just like circling around. It's like they're highlighting at least for this one. I don't know how they're going to do it episode wise.
Yeah.
But it's like these cats are fighting for a second over here and they're just focusing on that. And then they might cut to this one over here and be like, oh, they're scrapping over there too. And we cut back to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might not even see what Deku's doing for, like, I feel like probably in a few episodes at a time.
Sure.
How they're going to set it up. But I guess in that sense, I'm cool with. But, like, if it's just, like, mayhem, just a mayhem fight.
Yeah, just everybody just going.
Like I said, a bunch of just metalheads getting crushed down by one guy. I don't give a fuck about that shit either.
Yeah.
Last question, Rob, because I feel his energy on this. He, he fucking hates this guy. And I get it at this particular point. Is Vero the starriest villain we have covered on the show, on any show or movie that we've seen so far, Rob?
Let me tell you. This dude puts absolutely zero fear in my heart. Viral shows up and I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, this guy's about to get fucking destroyed and dog walked and sent packing. And every time it happens, like to the point where I'm just like, what is keeping this guy going in the morning? Honestly, like he's what's such a fucking failure. Everything he touches, he poisons. Like, and so I'm thinking about like, is there anybody else that has got like the insurmountable number of L's that Viral has had? And I know this isn't a show we've done necessarily for the podcast, but like if I'm thinking of villains that have got like zero wins, the only other villains I could think of are like Team Rocket.
Yeah,
like
Team
Pikachu
Rocket,
gets them out of there every single episode. Viral is on Team Rocket level of villainy, where it's just like you are kind of just a waste of space, dude. Like, at least Team Rocket is funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they have their moments where they make you laugh. Like, they can be kind of charming in a way with that. Like, you're just like, all right, they're trying, those scrappy villains.
Yeah.
Viral is
scrappy villains.
Viral is just, he's just, I have an immortal body. And Simon is like, I don't give two fucks about that.
You weaken an immortal body.
Beats the brakes off of this dude. And even the Spiral King is just like, hey, man, that's not what I gave you an immortal body for. You cannot hold a candle to this dude. So, he is. Is the sorriest of villains.
Yeah, Ice.
I would say of what we watched, he's probably the sorriest. I think homie from Kill la Kill was pretty sorry, though. The green dude, the head of the athletic committee, he kept getting washed. He was talking the most shit with the green dude. Not the big one that whipped himself.
Not the one that was, like, typing on himself?
Not him. He's weak, too. But, no, the main dude, like, he had green hair with the... He was weak as fuck.
Yeah,
for him to come to be the head dude... They got him Rukio got him up out of there pretty easy.
Yeah.
I think in all of anime, King Cole was fucking trash, dog. That motherfucker was sorry.
King Cole, that's King. True. He showed up on Earth and got destroyed.
That boy King Cole was garbage. At least Cooler had his moments where he had the army of Coolers and shit like that. King Cole was like, let me take your sword. I have your sword now. Trunks was like, I don't give a fuck.
He
about
was
you or that sword.
He was so weak. Yeah, Trunks was just like, yeah.
Here, take my sword.
Take it.
You pussy.
Nothing you can do.
There's nothing you
not
can do.
Not worried.
So I think he's hella sorry. I mean, if of what we watched too, you went already, right?
No.
Oh, my bad. So I was going to keep rolling. But I don't think you're going to say him. The dude that want to be like Stain, he's sorry too.
Oh, yeah, lizard dude from
My
Hero.
He's a sorry. He's sorry as hell.
He's just there for the motivational speeches.
Yeah. I was going to say him in the sense where, like, he was garbage, but, like, I mean, your guy, Viral, whatever the fuck his name is, he's essentially becoming like a punchline.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like he's just a comedic punchline with this, where it's just like he's getting his ass whooped. Is there, from what we've watched, I mean, I don't know. I guess we technically watched. This is not going to be popular because I guess now he's popping again. But at one point in time, Freeza was just like,
yeah.
I feel like he was becoming that. Sorry. I was just like, he's
always been sorry to me. He's still sorry.
I mean, I guess now with Black Freeza, he's going to be supposed to be some a G again. But it's like, for at a certain point in time, he was laughable too. It's just like, all right, we bring him on here.
He was a joke.
He was a joke.
He got even one in the punch Broly killed movie. By Saiyan Man.
Yeah.
The great Saiyan Man one punch killed Freeza. Yeah.
And it was
movie.
Just like, come on, you try to bring him back, and then he ends up technically losing to Goku and Vegeta in one movie.
Yeah.
You know, even had to turn back the hands of time, like, you know. But it's just like, bro, I feel like at this particular point, they're keeping him around for what?
Yeah.
Like, lazy writing?
Cell just sitting there like, am I a joke to you?
Yeah.
Like, why ain't nobody bring me back? I'm here. Boo like, hey, bro, what's up? We just, us two? Who really had them in a fucking torture chamber? We don't get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, let's just pick. It's like, Frieza every time. It's like, god damn.
I did think of one more dude, on Jujutsu Kaisen.
The
dude that was like, oh, I'm gonna turn Gojo into a coat rack. And Gojo twisted that dude's body.
Oh, yeah, he
turned him into fucking juice.
Oh, yeah.
Turned
he
him into
turned
a pretzel.
Him into a coat rack. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he fucked him up.
Yeah, man.
I thought you was going to say the Moroccan dude that
got
pieced up.
He got pieced up so bad, he was just like, how can I help?
Right.
Yeah.
He was like, Gojo, what do you need from me? Do not do that to me again, please. Like, train your student? Sounds great.
Yeah.
Stop punching me, please. Oh, my God.
All right, man. So, all right, let's give our likes and dislikes for these episodes and our scores. I'll go first. Man, this show wants me to not like it, bro. I just feel like it's just like, yo, Kenan, man, we don't want you to like us, bro. We want you to hate us as much as possible. The animation kicks up, and I'm just like, all right, this is going to be fire. Because like, as soon as I cut it, I was like, this looks different. This doesn't look the same when we've been watching.
Yeah.
And then we get into it with the Spiral King. I'm like, all right, cool. We're getting a good fight going on. And I'm just like, bro, you keep giving Simon, Simon, whatever the fuck his name is.
Simon,
you just keep giving him these W's that he shouldn't be getting yet. Like, he's not training and getting these W's like how he should be. I feel like he should be getting, like, yo, I need to get stronger. I need to get stronger to beat these guys. You beat the fuck with Spiral King on the first meet?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of anime, though.
To me, not somebody who didn't set up as a big bad. Like, this early, and there's still more anime left. Like you said, you set him up for a big bad, for, like you said, for 15 episodes or so. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he gets in there, and he watches this dude within, like, 10 minutes of the show. Like, the last 10, but whatever. It's just like, to me, that was just weak as fuck to me. Like, I'm just like, I want to like this show more. And I feel like they were about to go in the right direction. I feel like they might be going back into the right directions on this last episode. We're going to see who the new big bad is going to be, in a sense.
Yeah.
But it's just like, yeah, y'all skipped, what, 7, 10 years? Like, what the? This shit could be 12 episodes, bro.
Mm.
This show could be 12 episodes, man. I'm just annoyed. This last episode kind of saved it, so it was going to be like maybe like a 45, maybe close to a 5,000.
Damn.
Because it's just making it, like, the animation and the fight was good, but it's just like it's just annoying by how they're moving and pacing. It's just so stupid. So
how many episodes do you think the Spiral King should have got?
I think not necessarily how many he should have got. I just think he shouldn't have got washed on this episode. I think he should have washed old boy, Simone, and he should have been like, shit, the Spiral King is a real fucking deal. I got to come back. I got to figure out how to beat this dude. For you to come out your armor and be like, yo, I'm going to come out of my armor and start washing you. Like, clearly, he should be on a different level. And he was for like a second, and then I stabbed you with my little...
He was until he wasn't.
My little spinner. He came in with a move, like you said, a move out of nowhere that we didn't even really know about. And it blasts. It's like, come on, what the fuck are we talking about, bro? This is lazy writing. It's getting like Dragon Ball Z to me. It's like, I love Dragon Ball Super and shit like that, but it's like, you're getting lazy from time to time, man. Like, just give us something with some good writing or some shit. Some good storytelling.
Sounds like Shampoo without the soundtrack. That's what Mike Hall said.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Shampoo like had his moments. It had some good moments, but it's the same thing. It was just like they missed on the marker on some hits too. So like I said, that last episode, putting it to now, we gotta wait to this new villain or whatever it is gonna be and how it's gonna turn out. That kind of got me like, all right, I'm not off on the show yet. So it brought that 45 to 5 to like maybe like a 6,400.
That's better than what I thought you were going to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You pulled a Rob right now.
A little bit.
Yeah. So 6,400 out of these ones.
This is the worst show I've ever seen. 7,100.
And it's not.
I need to be better. I need to be meaner with my scoring, man.
And it's not Kuroko by far, but it's just right. Like, come on, man. But Rob, go ahead.
I mean, there's things I agree with you. I do think the show in general could be much shorter. I think they could have used their episode count much more wisely. That being said, I agree that the Spiral King, I think they could have done, they could have changed some things around and made it a little bit more interesting, where it's like, okay, maybe he's got them on the ropes, but, you know, they figure out a secret that, or they figure out a way to put him on his heels where he's just like, all right, like, but I'll be back. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Because what I do like about the show, you know, it's a thing I've seen on other things that I've really enjoyed, where it's like, you know, this bad guy is actually somebody that's burdened with a terrible truth of just like, no, you don't understand what I'm doing here. Like, you think I'm oppressing you, but I'm saving you, not maybe from yourselves or maybe from something else. Mm. And so that... where the show is going, and with these anti-spirals, and now that the population has hit 1 million or whatever, I'm interested to see what that is, and to see if, like, what if I'm always it makes me interested when you're just like, oh, this bad guy was protecting them from something even worse.
It wasn't even
the
bad
devil
guy.
You don't know.
Yeah. And do you think he was? Do you think he started off as a bad guy?
Potentially, no, because he's like, I'm protecting humanity. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't understand. Like, if you guys get to this point, if you get to 1 million, like, something else is going to show up. It's going to be so much worse than what I am. But. You know, it's interesting where they're taking it. I hope it can continue to, you know, develop on that and make it a more interesting plot line of who these villains are and what the actual threat is. But no, I agree that, you know, there's, as far as the plot armor, that's still there for Simon and the rest of them. We'll see what happens. I think, and certainly we're going to see a lot of, I think, what were set up in these earlier episodes come back and be reflected at a different light. Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing Rosie doing a lot of things that his colony was criticized for doing, keeping a population count and being like, hey, we can only, you know, attribute to this much people. And Kamina was the first to be like, hey, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
The fuck are we doing? And Roziu is now in kind of the same position as his former leader was, where he's trying to keep a population cap or whatever. So I think there's definitely some more interesting stuff to come down the pipe. We'll see, especially now that maybe Nia is a bad guy. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
But we'll see. I think this show is moving in the right direction. It's not completely there yet to keep me interested. But I mean, I would give it a 6,600.
6,600?
All right. We're slightly above.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
We have a special guest here.
Hi. No. I just like to say that my sister's in town, and she was just going to my office to get something, and she heard like a bunch of obscenities about me.
Oh,
and
great.
Came into the studio because we're over. That's awesome. She literally flew here to help me with my brother's music video series that we were shooting. And she comes in there and is like, Brennan, I just heard like your name being cursed. you being made fun of. And I'm just like, wow.
This is great.
I was going to leave you guys alone today.
No, this
is great. I don't know
great.
How I'm supposed to do that.
No, I love it. This is great.
In my studio, y'all come in here like this? This is how you feel?
This is awesome.
Okay, just want to make sure that y'all standing on this.
Hello, how are you? How you doing?
It's my sister.
Hey, so nice to meet you.
You didn't give me the context. I thought it was hilarious.
Thank you, sir. This is great.
Hold on.
She said she thought it was hilarious.
Okay,
that's very funny.
I just wanted to make sure the people at home heard that.
They didn't hear it because it didn't happen. No, I just want to say, you know, I hope you guys are enjoying Gurren Lagann. You know what I'm saying? My Hero Academia.
He gave it 4,200.
4,200?
That's not true. He almost gave it 4,200.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 4,200, and then this episode.
A little deal.
Yeah, this last episode, you gave it like a 6,400, which is not as bad. Yeah. Not as bad.
That's not so bad. Yeah. Was it after like Rob described it or something?
No, I gave it a 6,400.
He led.
Damn.
What did Ice give it?
I haven't given it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, back to as you guys were. I just had to come in here to acknowledge that. So.
Do you see this comment? So Brennan looks like Lil Bill. Yeah.
What's your name?
Rob? What are we doing?
Raina? Shout out to Raina, man.
Well, Rob, there's a lot of comments. Why is that?
She was just reading it.
Yeah.
I'm not keeping anything from
Lil Bill.
Lil Bill?
Lil Bill? Shout out to Raina for getting it on the phone.
Appreciate you
stopping by. Just Google Lil Bill real quick.
Well, hold on. Let me show you
Lil Bill.
Go ahead, give your picture.
No, we got to sit in that Lil Bill. Show her Lil Bill. No, we're going to take some time out. Little Bill.
It's okay. Everybody. Look, I get it. I'm a bald, brown-skinned brother. You know what I'm saying?
Bald,
so that's what we're doing.
Bitch.
Protect you. Protect your phones, everybody. Get your phones.
Little Bill.
You know,
Little Bill.
We do look alike.
That's
hilarious.
Little Bill.
Come here.
We got to get Brennan a custom B-shirt just like this.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
His name is Brennan also?
Oh, my
we get
God.
We get him that
little,
shirt.
Little Bill cosplay.
Yo. And if you lose
shout
a
out.
For those on our
shout
YouTube, for those on our YouTube, this is my sister, Raina, who I look a lot like. This is my family member who I look the most like. So what were you laughing about, Raina?
This Lil Bill character.
Okay,
man.
Just making sure. All
right. Lil Bill. This looks like Brennan right here. This
David
is
David Boone. I'll never forget
Shave
you.
The
damn.
Beard, Brennan.
Damn.
Yo. Guys, you know, we're waiting for Ice's rating. Go ahead.
No, this is great. This is great.
Oh, it's just e-cosplay, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great, Brennan.
Lil Bill.
Oh, man.
Anime Expo, Brennan.
Nice meeting you too, Raina.
Bye.
Ho ass, bitch ass, Brennan.
Ho.
It was his birthday, too.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Hey. And happy birthday to Brennan, y'all.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Brennan.
Bitch ass. It was a whole ass bitch ass birthday.
Happy birthday, Brennan.
Cam got it, too, though. Don't worry about it.
He did.
So.
He doesn't care.
All right.
That was great. That couldn't have went any better. Perfect timing of a little build, too.
Likes and dislikes.
I guess instead of spending time how I feel about it, I just want to rebuttal a couple of things that Keenan said. It's like the plot armor piece I don't agree with because there's a laundry list. You have just one. Now, I know you guys necessarily didn't see it, but you had Ichigo fighting fucking Renji and Byakuya in season 2, and he had no business of doing that. Granted, they explained the plot armor with Aizen and stuff like that, but Naruto, and I love Naruto, he's a poster child for plot armor. Mm-hmm. Like plot armor, Goku, everybody. Plot armor is entrenched with almost any shonen anime. So I think to say that you didn't like it because he had plot armor after 15 episodes of the majority of the show, I don't think that's something that you can knock him for.
But we also see those guys struggle and like, all right, I couldn't beat this guy. And maybe like even with Goku getting hurt or something like that, he had to like either
he
heal.
Lost his best friend. He lost his brother.
What I'm saying,
Simon lost his brother.
But he still doesn't have the physical skills and strength to just beat the Spiral King.
He was in the dumps. He got washed. He came back, not from the Spiral King, but he's taken ills.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have an issue with him even beating the Spiral King. I just have an issue with him beating the Spiral King in first meet. If he beats the Spiral King in the second meet, I'd be like, all right, we get to see the Spiral King get to work. Simon needs to get back to some work because right now we don't have a cap on his strength. It's like he's the strongest in his universe right now.
But at the same time, we've seen multiple anime people do. If this hasn't been solidified, especially anime at this time, we got to remember this is an older anime. So, like, anime in that time, those main characters were entrenched in plot armor. Like, they wore that shit pridefully. So I think to hold him on, like, say that, I understand the Viral King part, yes, but to say that that's so bad that, I mean, that it hurt it to the extent that you're saying, I don't agree with that. But I do, I think the animation, I think the fight, I think him coming, like taking his stuff off and being able to go hand in hand with the mech, I think they tried to show the power of the Spiral King in a very short period of time because they knew they had a bigger plot moving forward.
So he is human, like I was saying before.
What you mean?
The Spiral King. He's a human. Or we didn't get to that yet.
We don't know. Because the other part is he had all sorts of secrets and whatever that he didn't. Gotcha. He told Viral, apparently, but not anybody else.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So I say there's a bigger plot at hand. I think what I would say is the time that they spent with all the generals, they could have shortened that and gave the Viral King more time.
I agree
with that, and I would say that, and I do think they should have went about it that way. Even on first watch, that's how I felt. All in all, I think this was probably the best stretch of episodes of the show post Kamina dying. I think those are still take the cake. But like I've been telling Keenan, like there's if that moment didn't touch you, then there's what you're about to see is going to be great, but it's not going to hit the same. So I think it's going to be tough to try to beat that or feel something after you're 17 episodes in and you're not invested. Then what happens next is it's going to be good, but you're not going to sing his praises like everybody that sings about Gurren Lagann does. So I think I give this stretch of episodes a 6,900.
Okay.
Nice.
Kind of high, like weed. All right, but
what are
you talking about? Gotta stay off the weed.
All right, man. So that's our scores and dislikes for Gurren Lagann. But here's the thing: I can see why people like this show.
Sure,
I can.
Sure.
Wow.
I tried to give it something. Yeah. Even Robin don't fuck with this show either.
It's
man.
Fine. It's like this is a mid show to me.
It's very mid. It's
I don't think it's
mid.
Bad.
Yeah.
It's not great to me so far.
Right.
I think, and like I said in my review, I think it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I would have to hear. Somebody said this is their favorite anime. I would have to see what you consider as a GOAT. Why do you consider things as a GOAT?
And that's something I said a couple weeks back in one of our anime chats. I would say that this is a good show. I stand by it. I enjoyed it. I enjoy it the second time around. I think the only time that I would screw my face up is somebody had it in their top five or if they had it in their bottom five. That's the only time that I would screw my face up. If somebody said this top five anime, I'd be like, all right, you need to watch some more.
Yeah.
And if somebody had in the bottom five, I'm like, okay, you haven't seen The Basement yet. Like, there's much worse anime out here that's popular that I feel like is much worse than Gurren Lagann.
Yeah, I guess it depends on style, too, because people would love Kuroko. We're not necessarily sports anime fans, so, like, Kuroko be at our bottoms. They're gonna probably be looking at us like we're crazy, anyways. Like,
I mean, Kuroko still has some moments. Like, there's some like clips of Kuroko that I'm like, that actually looks kind of cool.
Yeah,
that
was, yeah.
Even when I've seen clips of like the newer seasons, I was like, man, damn. If these seasons weren't so long, I might watch some of these.
I watched Blue Lock and Haiku before I watch another season of Kuroko.
That's because
those two sports that I don't really play, so I feel like I.
Yeah,
have
I get
more,
that.
I get that. Yeah. So yeah, man. Next week, we'll be watching, Attack on Titan Season 4, Parts 9, and whatever the fuck we're at now with this show, because the show should be over.
Final Season, Part 3, Part 1.
Is it Part 3? Final Season?
Yes.
Part 3.
Season 4, Part 3,
Part 1.
Part 1. I'm so tired.
Hey, this we'll is like getting like Bad Boy remixes. Like, how many y'all gonna fucking make, man?
And we're watching the next two episodes of Villain Saga also on top of that. So you know that Attack on Titan is like an hour special or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It made use of that hour too.
Yeah. So, you know, follow Brennan on Bitch Ass Brennan on all social media platforms. Follow Cam on Ho Ass Cam on Ho Ass Stickman on all platforms.
Ho Ass Stickman.
Rob.
Yeah, just my weekly recommendation. I've been checking out on the Switch the Game Boy Advance emulator. Mm. Oh man, I've been having a good time with that. Mario and Luigi was a game that came out a while ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't play it on its first run. I'm playing it now. I'm enjoying it very much. It's great. Game to just like shut your brain off. Turn-based RPG that feels a lot like if you played Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, one of my favorite games of all time. Feels very much like that. And it's just fun. Little 16-bit like Super Nintendo style game that you can play on the Switch. And if you've got like the advanced membership or whatever, they're online, whatever, that you have like the Nintendo 64 and all that, it's available for free. And I know they got Golden Sun coming soon too. Mm. So Keenan, I know you check
Golden
that
Sun
out.
Comes, I'm not touching that damn.
Well, I would say check out not Super Mario, but Mario and Luigi. It's a fun game.
Ice.
Real quick, have y'all Twisted Metal? Y'all know what that is?
Oh,
of
yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. That was the game that I would go over to my cousin's house because he had a PlayStation, and like I didn't, and he would just destroy me in that round after round, but I'm like, I can get it this time.
Yeah, no.
Never came close.
Love that game.
But I do remember that game. That was a lot of fun.
Just hella just violent with just blowing up trucks.
It was lit.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess I'm in the older bunch now because we were shooting something this morning, and my DP had a rigged up to his car. He's younger. He's like 21. He had all this shit rigged to his car, and I was like, "Damn, there's a good amount of people of us out there. They're all younger." And I'm like, "Damn, there's some Twisted Metal shit." Crickets.
Wow.
Crickets.
Wow, man.
I was like, "There's some Twisted Metal shit, man."
On the second re-up.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, Twisted Metal.
Twisted
what,
Metal.
With like, what, four of them? Three or four
of
them?
Yeah. But like, they went on the PlayStation 2. Yeah, they was on the PlayStation 2. Black or something. It was
recently?
The last one I remember is Black was on the PlayStation 2. I remember that one because it was like a greatest hits or some shit like
they
that.
They made one for the PlayStation 3, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
That's not that long ago.
10 years. Yeah. The younger generation should have been attacked. Well, maybe this didn't do well, though.
Yeah.
That's what they have to think of. But yeah, I remember, Twisted Metal 1 and 2, we were just
lit.
We was like, what is this?
Customizing your truck and stuff. I remember that clown had the little ice cream truck with the bazookas on it.
The clown was really funny. There was the dude that his two arms were just giant wheels. He's on the cover here. Yeah. That guy was crazy.
It was just like, it was like Mario Kart on steroids, but like more violent.
Violent as hell.
Yeah.
Was it teen or R?
I feel like it was teen.
Yeah, teen.
Okay, yeah. Because there's no reason for them to just put titties on the front of the car.
Yeah, the more recent one is the PlayStation 3 version was M. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Teen or M, I guess I should have said.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that because I felt like an old man. So follow me at Ice McGowan, the old man, on YouTube. YouTube got a lot of stuff popping off there. Got some other stuff coming outside of the stuff that's already on there. About to do some cool takes on some Marvel comic books. Going to talk about Secret Wars. Going to talk about some moments in anime that I found really funny, and just going to do a lot of random shit that whatever I feel is cool for the next couple months before I get back into my filmmaking bag. So enjoy these next couple months, because after that, I'm going to slow it down a little bit. So we out here.
Check them out.
All right, Keenan Baker on every single thing. Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like you can age out in 5 years now. That's what I feel like.
It's
like,
true, man.
You know, I've been doing the throwback 90s games, and it's, you know, some of these games are still traveling to kids nowadays, but like, you know, I say some shit and be like, yo, bro, what are you talking about?
I know. Yeah. I just saw this Instagram reel, and this is the last thing I'll talk about. Really made me laugh because it was just like this girl was like, I mean, there should be like a phone that's at like the house, but it's like for the whole family. And they're just like, that's a house phone.
That's a house phone. That got people are obsolete.
People are describing a house phone.
Yeah, that's nuts.
The fact that we're like, our shit is like ancient.
That's crazy.
That's what's crazy. It's just like, our shit is forgotten. Yeah. Like, with our parents' stuff, we didn't forget a lot of shit. We just like, it got pushed down to us.
Yeah, the rotary phone shit.
Yes.
Yeah. I had one in the crib. One of my house phones was a rotary phone.
Yes.
Yeah, like.
For them, they're just like, yo, that shit is dead.
That's
like, technology's advancing so fast for them. It's just like, they're not even seeing half the shit that we grew up with 10 years ago, like you said.
Icy lost his iPhone, and to show him, like, responsibility, I bought him a flip phone, and he is fucking hating it. He is dying. Like, we talk often. I'm very proud of our son's relationship, but I have never talked to him this much in my life because he just called me like,
hey, Dad, what you doing?
Because he can't play on the phone.
He's fucking bored. Rattling off an hour and 45 minutes. That's my son. I love to talk to him, but it's like, all right, Icy, I got some stuff I need to do, man. Like,
you can't text fast on that
he
bitch.
He don't know how to do the T9. He like, I got to press every button. How do I write C? He is struggling.
Hey, man.
To the end of the school year.
T9 wizard. I could text underneath a desk without even looking at my phone. I could send out a book.
That is crazy. I was bad at T9. But
T9 changed my life because I was late to the T9 game. I was over there struggling too. One girl was just like, hey man, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Do the T9 thing. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well just download Snake for him and see how he can play Snake. Snake was fun though.
It was fun getting that. Yeah, he's hurt. He's like, I don't know what I don't have no TikTok. He's just like, I gotta watch YouTube on my PlayStation, which is not the same because sometimes I just like to have it in my hand before I go to sleep. It's just like, he is struggling. It's just like, damn, like, these kids don't know what we had to go through. I sound like an old person saying that, but we went through some shit, man.
Walk through the snow, uphill, both ways.
Both ways.
All right, Josh, yeah, Keenan Bacon on everything, man. If you're in the town, of course, March 25th, we're doing Bonfire Stories again. It'll be the ladies taking over, man. Ladies first, ladies night out, man. It'll be us two hosting, but it'll be the rest of the comics will be women, and they're going to tear this shit down.
That's
going to
be fun.
With some great-ass fucking stories, so make sure you guys come through, support. Yeah, man. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.